This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
A man in his kitchen at home opens his refrigerator and he is shocked and surprised to find that there's a rabbit sitting on one of the shelves. He looks amazingly at the rabbit and says, "What are you doing in here?" And the rabbit responds, "Well, what kind of a refrigerator is this?" The man looks on the cover of the door and opens it back up and he says, "Well, it's a Westinghouse." And the rabbit says, "Well, I'm just Westing." The gospel today is about resting, not Westing, resting. The disciples have just gone on their first mission trip. Jesus has sent them out for the first time, and they come back. And they must have been incredibly busy because, as Mark writes, they did not have leisure even to eat. There's no Burger King, there's no McDonald's, there's no fast food in this day and age back then. So Jesus must have realized that as part of their formation, there was a need for some rest. And going away to this quiet place is nothing new. We can go back to Moses and the burning bush story and going out in the wilderness and the prophets in the Old Testament and John the Baptist. And of course, we know Jesus, every time there's something important coming up, what does he do? He goes away to a quiet place or the wilderness or the desert, because that is where he makes that connection with his God. Now, I want to take you back a bit because there's a corresponding reading in our lectionary that if you take a bulletin home, you can go home and read it. And it's from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, and it talks about David, King David. And it's an important contextual thing for us, really, to get a hold on what is going on in this story and what it has to teach us, because it's about rest as well. In that story from Samuel, it starts with saying, "Now when the king, David, was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest." David, too, has been incredibly busy. Let me summarize for you everything that happens in the first six chapters of 2 Samuel that helps you to understand why David might need some rest. 2 Samuel begins, David is mourning the death of Saul and Jonathan. He is then anointed king of Judah. But the happiness doesn't last long because Abner, who was the commander of Saul's army, one who died, made Saul's son king of Israel, a competing rival, and there is a war that results between David and the other new king, Abner, between Israel and Judah, the two kingdoms. Well, eventually David becomes stronger and Abner ends up defecting to David's camp. So now they're on the same side. However, a guy by the name of Joab is mad and he kills Abner because Joab's brother, the guy that kills Abner, was killed by Abner during this unpleasant fight that they had. As a result of that, Rechab and his brother kills Ishbael, Saul's son, without David's permission as well. It's getting really complex, isn't it? David mourns the death of Abner, and David goes and has Rechab and his brother killed because they killed Saul's son. But all of these people getting killed result in David becoming king of the entire kingdom of Israel and Judah combined. Now, you had to be exhausted after all of that, wouldn't you think? And with the help of the king of Tyre, a guy by the name of Hiram, David finally has a palace built for him to be king. So this is where we pick up the story. David is now resting. He would have a tendency, perhaps, to think, all the work is done. Should be peaceful. I killed everybody off who was my enemy. But what David does next is what brings us to the important part here. What David does is he says, rather egotistically, I live in this great house, this palace, and yet our God is living in a tent. Maybe I should build a house for God. Now, he's referring to this tent, if you see any of those Harrison Ford movies, Raiders and all that stuff, where they have the Ark of the Covenant and all that, they usually carry it, and it's covered by this tent. And whenever they're going into battle, that Ark is leading them in the procession. So he says, my God lives in a tent, and I got this palace. Maybe I should build a house for God, rather egotistically. Now, Nathan the prophet, who's very close to God, comes that very day with a message for David. And he says, basically, who do you think you are that you're going to tell God that you're going to build him a house? Did I ask you to build me a house, God says? And he goes on and he says, there is a reason why I live in a tent. And it's something called mobility. There is a reason for it because God is on the move and God wants God's people to be on the move. We could sort of compare this to that transfiguration story. Remember when Peter, James, and John are up on the hill and there's this beautiful, Jesus becomes all dazzling white and they hear the voice from heaven, this is my beloved son. And Peter says, let's build a shrine here, Jesus. This is pretty cool. But Jesus knows that the journey is not ended there, that it needs to move on. And he says, no, we got to come down the mountain. We got to go to Jerusalem. Same thing here. God is telling David, I'm not done with you yet. All this stuff that happened in the past, maybe it wasn't so beautiful, maybe a little gory, but it's brought you to this point, and now we're going to move on. The important part here I want you to hang on to is if there was not this time between David and God and a reflection on the past and a planning for the future, that David would have probably just sat in that palace and ate bonbons the rest of his life. This time of resting is internally a very active time for David, and it's an important and crucial time for all of us. Now, what comes out of all of this is one of the most important pieces of literature in the whole Old Testament, because God says, I'm in the market to buy a house. Now, if we transfer that to Florida, it's pretty much a buyer's market right now, huh? You can pick up a pretty good deal. It's about half price these days. The challenge is, what's the challenge? You got to get rid of the house you got now. And how are you going to do that? Well, internally and spiritually, it is making that space for God. What God tells to David is that you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build my house within you. And God changes it around. And he says to David, your line, your house is going to last forever. Now, it could be misunderstood that this palace is going to be there forever, but that's not what God has in mind. He means the line of David. David's ancestors will go on forever. And we know, if you look at the genealogy in the beginning of Matthew's gospel, it goes from David on down and eventually comes to our patron saint, Saint Joseph, and then to Jesus. And here we are 2,000 years later, and the promise has been fulfilled and continues to be fulfilled as we, as ancestors of David, as being the followers of Jesus, continue that line of God's kingdom breaking into the world. That was the call that David needed to hear. But he needed to slow down a bit and to hear God speaking. Now, if we're going to make that home, let's go to the gospel today and understand a little bit more about that. The disciples, as we said, have been so busy. There's so much going on. He pulls them to a quiet place. Jesus knows. Jesus understands that we cannot continue to just do and to do and to do and to do because we are not the Energizer Bunny. Sooner or later, the batteries need to be recharged. And not only the batteries need to be recharged, but at the same time, we need to debrief what has happened, just like David needed to debrief, probably need to grieve what happened. I'm sure David needed to do that. I'm sure the apostles, even though they had great success, I'm sure there was some rejection as well, just like Jesus had. They needed to grieve that. They needed to acknowledge their pain. They needed to go and process through all of that before they could move on. And by the way, they also needed to listen to God's voice to get some direction as to where God wanted them to go. That's how we make the home for God, of giving the space, the place, and the time for God to speak. It used to be in our lives where you would be driving out on Seacrest or Woolbright or 95 or wherever, and I'm sure you experience, you're driving down the road and there's this car that's going like this. And the natural assumption we used to make was that that person was drunk. Nowadays, you see a car like that, what's the natural assumption? They're texting. And sure enough, I'm sure you've experienced, if you catch up with that car, sure enough, there is somebody who's trying to hang on to the steering wheel and texting on their cell phone at the same time. What a crazy, dangerous thing to do. But how much of our lives these days, where there is so much, I mean, everything's got to be fast. Fast mortgages, fast food. Let's do this so you can do this at the same time and do this at the same time. And we end up getting so caught up in trying to get everything done at once that what happens is we get absolutely nothing accomplished. There comes a point in all of our lives where we need to just say, stop. In the commandments, it's called the Sabbath. Whatever that Sabbath is for us, we better have it. Because we're going to drive ourselves and everybody else silly if we don't. This is a great gospel to have this time of year because it's traditionally when people are getting their vacations. They're able to recharge in some way. And it doesn't mean we have to go to Tahiti to do that. But even on a daily basis, to have a quiet place that we can go to. In spiritual terms, in Ignatian terms, we would call it an examen at the end of the day, where you just review with God the day. And you say, like we say in the Book of Common Prayer from New Zealand, what is done is done, what is left undone is left undone. Let it be. But we spend that time to do that. I was blessed with going out to Fuller for one of my courses, and one of the evangelical writers who's one of the gurus in the spiritual world, his name is Dallas Willard. And he has written all sorts of spirituality books. You might have heard of The Spirit of the Disciplines or The Divine Conspiracy. He's written a bunch of them that have been very popular, but very deep and right on. And he would start speaking at 8 o'clock in the morning. We would break for meals for an hour, and he would go until 10 o'clock at night for 2 weeks. When you saw me coming back with my bags under my eyes, that's why. But one day, about halfway through this course, somebody raised their hand after lunch, and we're all falling asleep, and he said, Dr. Willard, tell us if there is one thing in the spiritual life, if you could just say one piece of advice to somebody for the spiritual life, what would you tell them? And of course, we all woke up, and we're all ears at that point. Here comes the jewel of the class we're going to take home. And without batting an eye, he said, eliminate needless hurry from your life. Now let that sink in for me. Here's a man who's dedicated. He's 68 years old. His entire life has been working with spirituality for Christians in the modern world. And that's his one piece of advice. Eliminate needless hurry from your life. Now, what was amazing about this is it rang a bell with one of the students who, at the break, gets on his YouTube, and he pulls up an interview with Rick Warren from Saddleback, the guy we've used a lot in our Bible studies here. And in the course of the interview, somebody asked Rick about the best piece of advice he ever got. And guess what he says? Many years ago, a wise man said to me, eliminate needless hurry from your life. So naturally, the next morning we come into class, and the first question the same guy raises is, Dr. Willard, did you ever have any contact with Rick Warren? And of course, Rick had been a student at Fuller many years prior, and he had given him that same advice. And that many years later, it is still on the top of Rick's head and in his heart. It takes planning. You don't eliminate hurry by trying to continue to do 200% of things when there's only 100% of you. It takes planning. Promptness is a virtue, but it takes planning. And unless we are willing to let God make that home with us and give the time for that to happen, we are never going to have the realizations that David got. We are never going to have the realizations that the disciples had, that we need to just once in a while let things stop and let God speak to us. Eliminate needless hurry and maximize what we do need, and that is the God who wants to make a home within each of us. Let's take that to prayer.